Vietnam being more and more integrated to the international markets, one of the key factors for success would be to be competitive in their logistics.
Welcome to the Payments Powerhouses podcast, where we discuss current trends with the movers and shakers in the fintech industry, brought to you by 2C2P, Asia's leading payment solutions provider. Hi everyone, thanks for tuning in. I'm your host Twin, and today we are talking to Thomas Berthet, founder and managing director of DB. DB is based in the vibrant city of Ho Chi Minh, Vietnam, and provides an all-in-one digital payments and expense management solution that helps fleet owners cut costs and address fraud. The DB team hopes to play a key role in Vietnam's digital transformation. Welcome, Thomas. So glad to have you with us today.
Thank you, Tien. Thank you for welcoming me here.
Yes, so it's a pleasure. So, Thomas, you've had a multifaceted career. I had a look at your bio and I've seen that you've worked across strategy, business development, finance, and you've lived in Shanghai, Mumbai, Australia, Singapore, and now Vietnam. Could you share with our listeners more about your interesting background?
Yes, yeah, sure. So I was born and raised in France. And after my studies in uni in economics and business schools, I had the chance to go to India and meet the founders of Accor Services, where I've been able to join the team and started my career there. So I stayed all my career in the same group with different roles, with topics like employee benefits or loyalty programs, solutions to improve productivity and employee motivation.
And how did that role took you to so many interesting cities?
India was the first country we opened with Accor Services. So I became a Mr. Asia after 5 years there. So most of my experience was to start new countries, to develop or do acquisition in new countries as well.
Your primary focus was on productivity, employee benefits. How did that switch to digital payments now?
Initially, when we did our services, was mostly based on paper vouchers. And that was in the 90s, and gradually we shifted to electronic payments and digital payments. We also had the chance to work with companies, with HRs, and work on expense management for employees. And then we went to other categories, which are more for expense management for the companies.
You make it sound very simple, but I could imagine that it would have been quite a tedious and long process of transformation to go from paper-bound to digital transformation.
So it's true that when we started in India, it was mostly paper vouchers, but I went then to Australia, we started to do electronic payments already.
So now you are based in Vietnam. Could you tell us a bit about how you started your company?
Yeah, so part of my previous role was to study the opportunities in Asia, and we did it successfully in few countries. And one of the last one was Vietnam, probably because some of the key indicators were not showing some good prospects. But when I went and paid a visit and did surveys, I realized that there was some great opportunities and the country was really, could feel some good vibes in development and a strong will from the government also to develop a digital transformation. So I found by studying that there was still a lot of inefficiencies in some markets. And I pointed one, which was expense management for the fuel and fleet, which I already experienced in the past, and thought it was a good time to start there.
Yeah, I must admit, I don't know much about the fuel and fleet management industry, but this is what I also love about being in payments. Our end customer crosses over from all walks of life. So can you give us some insight about the fuel and fleet management industry?
Yeah, so fuel and fleet is related to a lot for transport logistics. And when a country develops the industrializations and needs to move goods from import to manufacturing or to new retail, then the transports, the trucking is a key pillar of the development of a country. Vietnam being more and more integrated to the international markets, one of the key factors for success would be to be competitive in their logistics. And you could see based on the data that the logistics is pretty high compared to other countries. In transport logistics, the cost of fuel represents 30 to 40% of the cost. So if you don't control this, then you are not in a good shape. And I did the research and most of those expenses in Vietnam were done manually with either cash or paper vouchers, and the fraud was very high. So I thought we could help companies and to get out of this headache and simplify the systems and also put on more transparency and get more competitive.
So how does the DB solution solve some of these pain points you've just discussed?
It's payment and also services. I also always believe it has to be combined to be successful. So what we developed is a payment solution, digital payments through either smart cards or mobile payments that provided from the company to their drivers. And we also had to equip the gas stations because gas stations were not equipped at all with electronic payment tools in Vietnam. It's changing now, but before when we arrived, it was nothing. And we create this ecosystem where the drivers can use either smart mobile payment to pay for the fuel with a system which also can control the consumption of the vehicle. That's also the secret sauce for the companies when they want to control, monitor all their consumptions to reduce their cost.
And how did the market respond to this offering originally?
It's egg and chicken, so we had to find the first clients and then also to create the network. Of course, we focused at the beginning for international companies, which have strong compliance and strong transparency policies, and also use those kind of solutions overseas. And that's what our first step. And then gradually, you could see that local companies, even now recently, government type of companies like the Post, use our services.
Are you seeing that Vietnam increasingly choose digital payments over cash?
Definitely. We have seen, especially in the last 2 years, you understand with the pandemics, things have moved really strongly for convenience and for also some sometimes for health reasons. And there are some strong also players coming up, even some unicorns in the payment. So when you talk about fintechs in Vietnam today, it's led in by payment companies, alternative payment companies. That's also part of the policy of the government. Their goal is to have 80% of the Vietnamese population having a digital wallet in the next 10 years. So that's come from either through banks, through the e-wallets, as you can see, the main one, and now more to broaden the prospect through mobile payments via the mobile operator.
And do you know what it's at right now in terms of digital versus non-digital?
No, it's still very small, but the trend is growing very fast.
So it does sound like the digital sector is viewed as one of the country's engine of growth over the next decade. What are some of the prevalent trends in Vietnam's payment landscape?
Again, it's part of the government policy and objective to do the digital transformation. Payment is part of it, but this can be fueled with services. So a lot of services now are becoming online. And the first one were coming from the e-commerce. So it gives also the possibility for a lot of consumers to access market they could not access before, or services, whether it's goods or also can be educations or can be medicines. So many other services can be done online now. And so, of course, you need to have a digital payment solutions to pay for those. Cash on delivery was still major and is still major, but it's changing also rapidly because for convenience and also because services are coming around. So when you say payment is was one combined with the e-commerce, but you have also all the other fintech services which are going to come in.
What obstacles do you see for Vietnam to adopt more digital payments? So
a lot of obstacles can come from the regulations because it's moving very fast and the regulation have to adapt. So it's not always easy to go at the same pace. Then you need to have also players who have a sustainable growth, sustainable business model. So today, because Vietnam is very attractive, a lot of companies invest massively and burn a lot of cash, which can be also an issue at a later stage.
So you say it's very attractive. In what way?
Because it's a young population, it's a growing population. The middle class is coming to reality, it's 100 million people. And there's a very strong drive and stability from the governments to develop this.
With the middle class, what behaviours do you see in their spending or their requirements for digital payments?
Especially, I would say, on the younger generations. So they have access to the world market through e-commerce. So things that they could not buy on the local supermarket, or then they can get access to with a few clicks. And so that's what's changed.
For yourself also, living in Vietnam, do you see your spending behavior has changed?
Of course, yes. I also use digital payment for everything. I don't like to go to the ATM and get dirty banknotes.
So the last time I think I traveled to Vietnam would have been 3 years ago, pre-pandemic, and it's heavily cash reliant. The markets, food, even when you try to get a taxi, cash only. How has that transformed over the last couple of years?
You can see now companies like the ride-hailing companies are very big now in Vietnam and very efficient, and all this is electronic. Even the taxis, you can pay now electronic as well. So it's less and less relying on cash, even though it will take time. But I would say Vietnam has the capacity to catch up very fast.
Given the increase in e-commerce, I would imagine that there's quite a high demand in the fleet industry, fleet and logistic industry. How would you say DB is positioned to help this increase?
First, we digitalize the process. Okay, so most of these e-commerce companies are using logistics, either internal or outsourcing, and a lot of data flows. And for this, you need to have systems where we can exchange data and have processes which are mostly digital, because it's quick and quicker and people want to be delivered very fast and there's no stock. So it's very important to have a strong system. So DB fits in because at the beginning, you can imagine that they invest in the best ERPs and systems, but still doing a lot of process manually and with cash was not really reflecting the what should be the market. How DB helps is that helping those companies first to digitalize the process, to limit the fraud, the cash exchange, to also improve the efficiency on the operations. So drivers don't need to come back to the office to get the cash or to do the reconciliation with paper vouchers. The team that people want to hire are not just those managing just papers. That's one thing. And the other thing is, by providing reliable data on all those expenses, as we put in a position where some of the companies can be in a better way to get some financing. Today, a lot of banks are still providing working capital based on all style of credit rating. But I think with our system, with the digital system and data, we can help those companies to obtain a better financing solutions.
Going back to the drivers, could you maybe illustrate to us what it would have been like before a solution like yourself would have stepped in and what it would be like for them after?
Let's say a simple example. I remember I've been recently in one of the gas stations where we could see a famous companies, Vietnamese companies, which is on digital, one of the leading group, a driver coming to the gas stations, and we were wondering what he was doing, was waiting for 10 minutes. And that's the accountant of his company coming with paper vouchers to show that they can pay for fueling the vehicles. Okay, so that's all this. So which means
the accountants are following the drivers around?
The driver was calling the accountant.
Right.
And the accountant were coming from the office building and then coming and signing the vouchers to pay the gas station. Okay, that's one example. Other examples are drivers coming to the office and collecting cash for having, sometimes they need to go from Ho Chi Minh City to Hanoi and the return will be at least a week. So they need to collect cash for paying for the toll, paying for the fuel and sometimes for some food. So today with our systems, they don't need to come back to the office and they get the new order job orders. And then they have with them their cards or their mobile application to pay for the fuel and the tolls.
I could imagine previously there would have been a lot of like stress on these drivers to ensure that their expenses are being met because they wouldn't have the ability to cover that cost beforehand. And say like in Singapore where you would have a company expense and claim for that afterwards, I would imagine that in Vietnam the drivers wouldn't have that spending power.
Those things are changing. Some drivers are very low paid and sometimes believe that they can take part of the cash rather than filling the tank. That happens. What we try to change with our services is to put more transparency and also measurements. And a lot of our companies, when they started, they knew that the driver was taking part of the cash and say, how can they solve this? So since we give them a tool to control and to measure the consumptions, we said, what don't you share your savings? And then they have changed also their compensation policy by putting some objective of behavior or consumptions. And since they can measure it, then they could give part of the savings and as a variable pay to the drivers. So it's much more transparent, improve the relationships, because tensions between the drivers and the fleet managers or the admin are always a big headache.
That sounds really interesting. Is it easy to implement the system? What's needed?
At the beginning, we had to do some training from the teams, but now, because of the digital payments are more and more across the board, so it's less need to train the people to use it. Of course, in some Western countries, you think that's a bit strange to have to train the drivers to use either a smart card or mobile phone, but that was the case, and more or less, no, the onboarding is pretty quick.
And is it just a mobile or a machine? What's the process for them?
Well, the process for them is when they go to the gas stations, they show, let's say, if you use a card, they show the card, they swipe the card. The system will recognize the drivers, and then they will show another card to recognize the vehicles. They need to match together. And there are some business rules where they will see that for these vehicles with this plate number, they can sell only so many liters, no more than what is in the tank, can sell only diesel, for example, and only during weekdays between this time and this time.
And with digital payments becoming more mainstream, how will other segments of fintech become more defined?
I say digital payment is leading the way in the fintech industries, and the second one would be the peer-to-peer lending. And the rest are all the ancillary services around the digital payment. So the bigger the digital payment, the bigger there are needs also to fulfill all the different services that are required for digital payments. So you can see now more companies like, say, BNPL, or Buy Now Pay Later services. So because people, when they want to buy online, maybe they need some credit, but they don't have the credit cards, so they use e-wallets. So there are many other services. Insurance are also there, very common now through the digitalizations. So all the fintech services are going around.
So how does DB contribute to Vietnam's digital transformation?
So DB fits in the market of transport logistics and also supply chain in a broader way. So this is today a key element of the growth of Vietnam, and is also a key element where previously it was very not digitalized. Okay, so that's how we contribute to this. We not only going to go for fuel, but we are going to address other services that companies need on the B2B for payment, but services around it as well. Our goal is to continue the other services for the fleet, and also to add more possibilities to address the SME market, which is today untapped into the digital transformation.
So what's next for the vision of DB?
We started our activity with the fleet's needs on the fuel, which is a major one, but we want to expand to other services for the fleet, including building some kind of marketplace where large companies or SMEs can access all the different services into one place.
So, Thomas, I wanted to ask you to provide some advice for our listeners. As a founder, what would you say to others that would like to start their own company?
I've been along the years experience to start up new companies, but within a large group. So I would say I was a more intrapreneur. And that's a very different ballgame from starting your own company. There is much more at stake and the risks are different. So you need to make sure that you have the strong foundations for that. The thing I always wanted to do is once you, of course, you've done your research and your preliminary work, is really to create a team that will go along your vision, that and to create a culture as well. I could not do anything without my team. And that's what is very important, is how to empower them, motivate them, set strong values as well. That will be the backbone for your future.
What specifically are you looking for in building your team? So either the characteristic of the people that you'll be working with or their skill set?
So at the beginning, you need to have people who are able to do multitask and work into a startup environment. Yeah. So that's not easy to find because those who are good at usually do their own companies. Once you have this, is a skill set is also more on the personality, where we have values of integrity, trust, dynamism. And that's also things that you need to and adhere to the project. So somewhere when you're a startup, you don't want to have people who just come for a job, but just want to go with you along in a journey and believe strongly in your product.
Thank you, Thomas, for a great discussion today. So good to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Gina.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please like and subscribe. You can find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Twitter. To read more about this conversation, go to 2c2p.com/blog.